several years ago, had to bring two suitcases of books back. I think it was from here. No one bought anything. So I'm reeling these two suitcases back to my car in the Sacramento airport. And I look and something's moving on the pavement next to my car. And I look, you know, I thought it was an illusion. And it was about this long, and it must have been a baby. It had a rattle in its tail. I said, no way, there's a rattlesnake next to my car. So I tried to go around the other side, and I said, no, I can't just dodge it. There's going to be a little old lady come by, and it's going to bite her. I must kill it. So I looked up, and I said, Lord, I don't have my sling. Lord, I don't have my rod. And it sounded like I heard a voice from heaven that said, what is in thine hand? And I said, all I have is my own two suitcases. And I said, well, here it goes. So I took a suitcase and I rolled it over that rattlesnake. He reared up, tried to strike, rolled the other one over him. He tried to get away, rolled the other one over him, hit him on the head. Now he's starting to writhe and kind of spin. Then I went into lawnmower mode and I just began kind of just both suitcases and until he died. And I looked up, I said, where is my wife to see me now? I have killed a rattlesnake with my own two suitcases. And I'm beating on my chest, I'm pretty excited. Then I look up and I notice there's a crowd of people that's been watching me. Because of the automobiles, Brother Myers, they couldn't see the snake. They just saw this gray-haired guy just having a good time with his suitcases and smiling and having a good time. So help me with that so I won't look too stupid. Anyone ever been to one of the places where you miniature golf and you ride the go-karts? Have you ever been to something like that? Well, they call it Scandia. They call them that. Years ago, we took our adults. All of our adults are a lot like yours. They're first-generation Christians from here in California. Their parents never went to church. Their grandparents never went to church. So we're taking them on adult activities, not youth activities, adult activities. So we took them to Scandia. It's probably the most demeaning thing a man can do, ride a go-kart, because they put a governor on the go-kart so it only goes 12 miles an hour. That's very unmanly. And about the time you go around the track, they say no bumping, and a little junior high girl passes you because she got a faster car. It has nothing to do with skill, she got a better car. And so, about two loops around, I hear this bump, and this girl driver bashed into my car. And then the sound changed. It went from to and it knocked the governor off of my car. So now I am not doing 12 miles an hour like everyone else. I'm doing 35 miles an hour, and I'm passing everyone. Fire is shooting out of my go-kart. Crowd of people are in the stand. A pastor's car has the power of God, and it's going and going and going. Finally, they flagged me in, and I came in. Well, these teen conferences, sometimes we come and we think our spiritual life's doing pretty good. And hopefully sometime this week, a song, a message, a word, and the Holy Spirit hopefully has bumped you and maybe knocked that governor off. So when you get back home, it's not just the 12 miles an hour. And that's why your workers and this great church is sponsored this. Thank you so much to Pacific Baptist Church and College. We're in Luke chapter 16 for just a moment. We're going to jump right in. I appreciate Brother Johnson's message. In fact, Brother Myers, I was kind of excited to come here to speak with him. I didn't even know he was alive anymore. Yeah, I didn't know pastors lived that long. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, he looks pretty good for his age. 97, something like that. But Luke chapter 16, let's stand if you're able just for a moment. Luke 16, and that's about all the voice I have. So Luke 16, looking down, very famous passage, verse number 19. Jesus is speaking. This is not a parable because he names a name. A parable is a story. This is not just a story. This is a true thing that happened. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. One was carried, one was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this, notice the word, flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, bless now the time we have. Thank you for every message that's been spoken. Thank you for the great college here. Thank you for the vision you've given the pastor. Thank you for what's been accomplished these last several decades and what's going to take place. Give us alertness of mind now. Thank you for those who've come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is no chapter in the 1,086 chapters in the Bible like this one. There are many places in the Bible where prophets are speaking. Many times it's Jesus speaking. Sometimes it's God the Father speaking. Sometimes even Satan is speaking in Scripture. But this is so different than any Scripture. This passage is a man that died and went to hell. He is falling. He is burning. He is smelling the burning of flesh. He's weeping. He's wailing. His teeth are gnashing. He's hearing the screams of the doomed and the damned. And for a brief moment, the Holy Spirit lowers a microphone all the way down into hell. You say, where is hell? The Bible does not say for sure. Some scholars think it's a distant planet, a distant galaxy, maybe a star. All I know is this. Many think it's the center of the earth. If so, it would meet the description of hell, because as the earth rotates, it would be a bottomless pit. They would fall and fall and fall and never hit the bottom. The middle of the earth is fire and brimstone. Middle of the earth is total darkness. It does not matter where hell is, but there is a hell. And contrary to what cults believe, it's just an imagination, or when you die, you die. Jesus, the one that rose from the dead, said there is a heaven, there is a literal place called hell. So the Holy Spirit, for a moment, lowers a microphone all the way in the pit of hell, all the way in front of this rich man as he's screaming. He gets out his pen of holy writ and inspiration and says, do you have anything you would like to say? And then he writes down every word the man burning in hell said. That's what we just read. Startling. Better tonight an unpleasant truth than a pleasant error. There was a chaplain one day in the military, and one of the soldiers came up to him and he said, chaplain, do you believe in a literal place called hell that has fire that burns forever? The chaplain spoke up and said, of course not. And the soldier said, then I will not be back to your chapel services. He said, well, how come? He said, if there's no hell, I don't need you. And if there is a hell and you've never told me about it, I sure don't need you. You say, what is hell, Pastor Ray? Study in Scripture. It's fire. What is hell? It's falling. What is hell? It's darkness. What is hell? A place of demonic creatures. What is hell? A place of hopelessness, lost forever, never again to have the hug of a mother, never again to see a beautiful sunset, never again to smell the fragrance of a beautiful flower, never again to have a thirst or a hunger satisfied. Sometimes people say, well, if I die and go to hell, I'll just be there with all my friends partying. You may be there with your friends, but it won't be a party. It'll be like you are all alone. The man Lazarus is talked about up in heaven. The rich man, his name is never named. How come? In hell, they even lose their identity. It's no longer important who they are because they are forgotten by God forever. I still remember during the 9/11 tragedy, I was in a motel and someone said, turn on the TV quick. And of course, the terrorists had hit with two planes our twin towers. We were on top of the top of the top of the twin towers 3 months before on vacation. So when the planes hit, they said, folks, we've been attacked. And they saw the smoke billowing out of the buildings. Many of you were not alive. Some of you didn't see it. But here's what they focused on. They said, folks, there's people that have survived. The planes went in. They couldn't go down and escape. They're going to the top. They're going to the top of the Twin Tower. They're on the roof. They're waiting to be rescued. The helicopters are coming. But it was so hot, the helicopters could not land. They could not even lower ladders. It was too much heat. It was going to take the helicopters down. They abandoned the rescue. And it said, and then there are hundreds of people on the roof. And as that roof began heating to 400 and 500 and 600 and 700 degrees, the people's shoes began melting. And instead of burning alive on the roof, I still remember the television cameras. Folks, they're jumping off the roof. They're jumping. They're leaping to their death. The people began leaping off the top of the Twin Towers to their death. In hell, they will leap, but never land. They'll jump, but they'll never, ever die. You say, well, Pastor Ray, will they be in hell forever? The answer is no. Well, I thought if someone dies unsaved, they go to hell forever and ever. No, not really. You say, what are you getting at? One day they'll get out long enough to be judged. When Jesus comes back, we will be judged for our good deeds at the judgment seat of Christ. Every bus route we ran, every dime you gave, every ushering you ever did, every song you ever prepared, everything good, God will look at your life and give you a crown and reward. You'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years and we'll ever be with the Lord. But 1,000 years later, everyone in hell will be brought out. And the righteous judge, the only one who's righteous at judging, he will review their whole life, every evil thing they ever did, all the evil influence they ever did, the Marilyn Monroe with that famous picture where her skirt's blown up and men have lusted after her for decades and decades and decades. God's gonna pull all that together. Every rock singer that overdosed, his music that's been playing for 40 and 50 and 60 years, God's gonna take it all. He's gonna reveal all the evil influence. He's gonna look in the book of life and say, your name's not written in the book of life. You rejected my son, Jesus Christ. Open the pit of hell, cast him in. You say, well, I thought that judgment's for them. Where are we? We're in the crowd watching. John Rice wrote a booklet called Tears in Heaven. He actually believed, great evangelist. He says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That passage is after that judgment. He believed we will know everyone we could have won. I'm just wondering if that judgment, if maybe a schoolmate, a neighbor, a friend, a sister, a brother is going to be at the judgment unsaved. And I'm just wondering, are we going to know if we could have reached them? I just can't help but imagine someone's about to be cast into hell and they say, hey, Lord, that person there, they were supposed to be a missionary. They were supposed to come to my island. They were supposed to reach me. I would have been saved, but they didn't do it. That teenager was supposed to be on a bus route. They were too busy. They slept in on Sunday. They never came to my apartment. I would have been saved. I think we'll know. William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army when it meant salvation, trying to get people saved, he was asked, how do you train your soul winners? Here's what he said. I wish I could cast them all into hell for 24 hours and then take them out. That's all the training they would ever need. Someone said if you were to stop all the births in the world, stop all the deaths, and if we won souls at the same rate we won them last year, it would take 400 years to win America to Christ, 4,000 years to win the world to Christ. Hey, if there's no hell, let's call Johnny Esposito back from the mission field and all your missionaries. If there's no hell, let's stop the Bible college here. It's too much work. If there's no hell, forget the new building and all the sacrifice made through the years. If there's no hell, let's shut down the bus ministry. Let's forget the outreach on Saturdays and on Tuesdays. If there's no hell, don't go to Bible college. If there's no hell, just do your own thing. It doesn't matter. But if there is a hell and God's called you into ministry, give your all and go into ministry. If there is a hell, carry gospel tracts and be a soul winner and be a bus worker and give to missions. I've been handed two tracts. I'm 61 years of age. Two times someone has said, did you get one of these? And we're in the most Christian nation in the world. And as sad as many of these character traits of hell are, there are some of the character traits hell has that we need in our youth groups and in our churches. I want to give them to you. You're hanging with me good. Number one, in hell there's vision. The Bible said the man in hell looked up and saw Father Abraham. He had vision. Scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. What is vision? Vision is seeing how things could be. And let me say this, young people, God has a vision for your life. Jesus looked at the disciples. He said, Peter, James, John, you're not just fishermen, you're preachers. Hey, Levites, you're not just a tax collector. I see you as a preacher. Hey, Paul, you're not just a persecutor. I see you as the great missionary. Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? When I was a teenager, I would see myself preaching. I could see it. I could see me pastoring. How come? God had put a vision in my heart. By the way, when Joe Esposito started this church many years ago, God gave him his vision, and then Brother Esposito gave you his vision, and this great church has been started, and Brother Myers is carrying that vision forward. Do you see it? God has more in store for you than just flipping hamburgers. He's got more in store for you than just doing that. He's got something great for you to do. Many of the adults would gladly change their lives and be young again if they could serve the Lord with their whole heart. Years ago, Tony Hudson was preaching. He was a mail carrier. He was a pastor. And then he worked at a gas station. And at night, he would lower the doors of the gas station and he would line up the oil cans and preach to the oil cans. Imagining he was preaching at a revival meeting. He'd stand up and say, ye must be born again. You must get saved. He'd say, heads are bowed, cans are bowed. Every can is bowed, no one's looking. In a moment, the piano's gonna play and the organ's gonna play, the great choir's gonna sing. Would you come to Christ? Would you get saved? He had strings tied to the cans. He'd say, would you come? And he pulled the cans to the front. Would you come? Would you come? They're coming from the back. They're coming from the side. They're coming over here. Yes, they're coming. You say, he's nuts, Curtis Hudson. He had a vision. One day in Chicago, he preached and 3,000 people walked the aisle in one church service. How come? He had a vision. When Disney World was founded, Walt Disney had already passed away. Disneyland was started. Disney World was being founded. He had died. When they cut the ribbon to dedicate Disney World in Florida, someone said, it's too bad Walt Disney couldn't be here to see all this. Someone wisely said, he did see all this. That's why it's here. Do you have a vision? People in hell do. Number two, tears. It said he cried. He cried. You know, when Jesus cried, he cried over a city. He cried over people. Most of the times when we shed tears, it's all about us. Someone's unfriended me. Someone has refused to be my friend. Someone didn't speak to me. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time your tears teared up in your eyes or trickled down your cheeks because you just read the newspaper? It ought to break our heart what's going on in our nation. 6 million Jews killed by Hitler, the Holocaust. 35 million babies murdered by Americans, the Holocaust. It ought to break our hearts. The direction our country's gone, the wickedness on the airwaves, how brokenhearted people are, the suicides, the addictions. It just ought to be something in our hearts. It ought to be the next time we knock on a door and someone says, I'm not interested, we walk away and it doesn't bother us. It ought to bother us. It ought to be something in our hearts saying, when's the last time I read something in the Word of God that moved my heart? When's the last time I witnessed to someone and my heart was breaking for them and I prayed for them? Jesus was carrying the cross and the Bible says the women began weeping. He said, weep not for me, weep for yourselves and your children. In hell there's tears. I wonder when's the last time we shed tears over somebody. Number three, a desire for the basics. He said, would you send Lazarus that he may bring me some water? I'm not trying to be funny. He didn't ask for a steak. He didn't ask for a burrito. He didn't ask for a milkshake. He didn't ask for a cold shower. He said, just some water, the basics. The young people, listen, where we mess up is always the basics. So-and-so's not in church anymore. I can already tell you why they're not in church. The basics, Bible, prayer, church, faithfulness, loving God, soul winning, Bible, church. It's not the book of the Revelation you need. It's not the 10 toes on the beast. It's just the basics. We have a football team that practices three blocks from our church, NFL team, called the, I hate to even say it in the pulpit, Oakland Raiders. Someone said they're going to have a better team this year because 11 players are getting out of prison on the same Sunday. So they think, when they huddle together, they call it a drug deal. So here's these guys paid millions of dollars. You know why they lose games? Because they get offsides. You know why they lose games? Someone stepped out of bounds. You know why they lose games? Someone forgot to hold the ball tight. They didn't make a tackle right. Some kind of illegal block. Just the simple things. And that's usually what gets us. Stay in church when you get back. Sit toward the front when you get back. Read your Bible and pray when you get back. Encourage your pastor. Hang with the right crowd. Obey your parents. It's just the basics. Not only that, but quickly, in hell there's fire, and our youth groups could use some fire. It was Jeremiah. He said, I'm fed up with the ministry. I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. Then his word was as a fire in my bones, and I could not forbear. David said in Psalm 37:3, he said, while I was musing, the fire burned. They said of John Wesley, by the way, perfect height, 5'2". Just a perfect man. 5'2". John the Baptist, you won't believe this, 5'2". Apostle Paul, get it, 5'2". Jesus Christ, you got it, 5'2". Anyway, they said, where'd you get that, the maps? Someone asked John Wesley, they said, 50,000 people come out to hear you preach in London. How do you get those crowds? He said, I set myself on fire for God and they just come watch me burn. Brother Esposito told me this. Brother Joe, years ago, maybe 10 years ago, he said, I was with Brother Howells one time. And he was preaching at a church. And he leaned over and asked the pastor, he said, what happened to your church? He said, what do you mean? He said, it's lively. It's on fire. It wasn't like this a year ago. He said, you see that man over there? I said, yeah, I see him. He said, he caught on fire for God, caught the whole church on fire for God. Hey, it just takes one. I've been to churches where they're cold. No one speaks. That's why God gives you two hands to shake your own hand. No one speaks. It's cold. You can ice skate down the aisles. And then I've been to other churches where it's warm, it's inviting, it's exciting, and there's a warmth and a beauty, and it's drawing. That's what you have to have. Is your youth group on fire for God? Years ago, I had a roommate. His name was Neil. Neil was very transparent. One day he got up, and he said this. He said, I'm not right with God. We said, well, we knew that. What's new? He said, I'm going to skip class today. I'm going to open the closet, light a candle. I'm going to pray all day till I get my heart right with the Lord. And it was just kind of eerie. He shut the door and we heard him crying. We heard him confessing sins. It's, man, we're going to leave, man. We don't want to hear you praying and confessing your sins. You know, we went to class all day. We came back. It's 5 or 6 hours later. We hear him in there. He's praying and he's crying. Then it got real quiet. And then we heard a scream. Wah! And we think, he's got it. He's coming out demon possessed or something. Well, what happened? He fell asleep. And he is praying in his shorts. And when he fell asleep, he hit the candle and all that hot wax landed on his legs. So Neil was on fire for God. Many years ago, we had a couple in our church. By the way, the bigger the church, the more problems. Don't be shocked when sinners sin. I can't believe someone in our church is having a baby out of wedlock. They're humans. Can't believe one of our members is in jail. Well, we're trying to reach sinners. Give them a little slack. Love them. Help them. Well, anyway, this couple over here was having problems. This couple was having problems. This couple was breaking up. And I found out one of the men in our church was counseling one of the women in our church. This man having his own problems was counseling this man's wife who was having problems. And I heard about it and I just addressed it. I said, folks, our church is not going to be a soap opera. We're not going to have this. I got word that there's some man in our church counseling some other man's wife. We're not going to have that here as long as I'm the pastor. And if I ever find out some man in our church is trying to counsel my wife, and it just came out, Brother Myers, I said, I'll gladly do your funeral. I think it's a threat. And then I backed up and something came out I've never thought of before. And then I just said, and I will spit on your grave. I don't know where that came from. I just said it. I was shocked. I grabbed my Bible. I walked out the side door. Sermon was over. There was no invitation. I didn't say adios, sayonara, none of that stuff. I just got in the car and drove home. You know, it's fun living with the pastor. My wife came home a little while later. She goes, what in the world? She said, what did you have for supper? I said, nothing. That's why I preach like that. I'm hungry. About that time, my boys come in. My three sons, last name's Ray, California Ray sons. Get it? Okay. And so the three boys come in. Whoa, Dad, you need to preach like that every Sunday. Whoa. I said, well, it's true. It's true. It had to be said. I know. Wow, it was something. Then my two daughters come in. Dad, we cannot believe you said what you did. I said, it's true. I know, we've just never heard you say it that way. What in the, wow. Well, the next church service, I don't know if I had a job. I came in that evening, they had decorated the pulpit. There was red and yellow flames of fire coming off the pulpit. There was an ice chest, dry ice, smoke was billowing out of the pulpit. There was jalapeno peppers from Inferno, from Purgatory, laying all over the microphone. Then there was a big sign on the pulpit, keep the pulpit hot. Keep the pulpit hot. Now let me encourage you youth leaders, keep the pulpit hot. Let me encourage you young people, when your pastor, and it's not always easy addressing some things, when they address something, someone ought to write their pastor and say, thank you, pastor. Keep it up. Scorch us. We need it. Hot fire purifies us. We want to make it for God. Crank it up. Don't back down. Crank it up. Someone ought to do that. Amen. You on fire? Number next, desire to be around the unlovable. It's the strangest verse in the Bible. The Bible says every scripture is practical. It's for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, profitable. So here's the verse. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. A strange verse, isn't it? The man is in hell. He could have said, could I have some water? No, that's not what he asked. Would Lazarus, you know, the guy with leprosy, sores, Can he dip his finger in water and stick his finger in my mouth? You know, I've been very hungry before. I've never been around Brother Johnson and said, Brother Johnson, I'm thirsty. Can you stick your finger in water and stick your finger in my mouth? I've never been that thirsty before, much less someone with leprosy. The only thing I can get out of that passage is this. He desired to be around someone unlovable. Years ago, my daughters would work on bus routes. Sometimes the bus kids were not real clean. Sometimes they would smell. Sometimes they would have lice in their hair. And more than one occasion, my teenage girls would come home and say, Dad, where's the ribs? Where's that shampoo for lice? We're holding this little girl in our lap, and all of a sudden, there's all these crawly things in their hair, and we don't want to have to shave our head. Where's that shampoo? And they'd shampoo their hair. And I'd say, girls, you don't have to work on a bus route. And they said, but Dad, who's going to love those little kids? Who's going to love those little girls if we don't? Thank God for people that's not too proud to love someone that's unlovable. By the way, there's got to be a starting point somewhere. Not everyone that visits our church comes in with a King James Bible, a suit and a tie, and a modest length dress. Someone's got to love them where they are. Are they welcome in your youth group? The girl with the short dress, can she come? The guy with the sag pants, you say, well, they shouldn't sag their pants. I know they shouldn't, but that's all they know. Let the sag pants people come in. We're not condoning that. We love them, period. God loves them, period. He loves us just the way we are, but refuses to leave us that way. Years ago, I led a man to Christ. His name was Ernie. His dad had spent half of his life in prison. He goes to the prison, leads his dad to Christ through the glass on the phone. His dad paroles out on Father's Day. He said, Pastor, my dad's coming to church. Father's Day, great. He wants to get baptized. Wonderful, we'll do that. He meets me after Sunday school. He said, I'm Ernie. I said, nice to meet you, Ernie. He said, my son told you I got saved. Yep, I heard. He said, I've been in prison half my life. I said, really? He had tattoos all over him. All over Pacific Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College. I love Brother Meyer. I mean, just tattoos all over him, teardrops with Brother Johnson's picture in it. I mean, he had tattoos on his knuckles prison tattoos. And I said, man, we'll baptize you today. It's great. At the end of the service, he walks up, starts to walk into the baptistry. He's got the little robe on. He's got tattoos on his toes and on his feet and on his ankles and on his shoulders. And he looked at me and he says, Pastor, I've done a lot of sinning. And I tried to act shocked, like, you? Really? Half your life in prison, you sinned? We were in a building project like you are right now, and I was frazzled. I mean, my hair was gray, and I was only 16. And man, it was rough. I mean, I was having nightmares. And he said, I want to make sure the baptism takes, so hold me under a little extra. Well, I don't know how much is extra. He said, I'll just tap you when it's time to let me up. I said, brother, at this point in my life, it doesn't matter. I'll hold you on as long as you want. I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of the death. You know how it is. If you don't know the person, sometimes you're clipping your fingernails, you're balancing your checkbook, checking on eBay, you're doing something on Twitter, you're looking at Groupon or checking the scores, and he's still underwater. And after a while, people began looking. I mean, everybody's looking. Even the people seated outside. We don't even have seat people outside, but they were looking. The guy never tapped my hand. That next Friday at his funeral, finally I said, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. People began cheering. He's alive. The pastor let him up. He's alive. Quickly. People in hell are all the way in. There is no purgatory. Saved, heaven. Lost, hell. All the way in, all the way in. Eutychus, you read the story in the book of Acts. That teenager was sitting in the third loft in the window of the church. Paul is preaching. Guess where he's sitting? In the window. Why in the window? Well, it's hot. No. So he could look and see what's going on in the church. and he could look and see what was going on in the world. The best of what was in church, the best of what was in the world. Now, sooner or later, young people, you're going to have to get all the way in. Let me ask you, are you all the way in? Are you all the way into this thing, soul winning and church and loving the Lord and God's plan for your life and serving it? Are you all the way in? Happiest people I know are those who said, I'm tired of being on the edge. It's all the way in. Someone said the only thing in the middle of the road are dead skunks and yellow lines. Where's that? Revelation chapter 23. And then last, he had a soul winning vision. He had a soul winning vision. He said, would you send Lazarus to my five brothers? I know it's too late for me, but I got five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place. Little boy was in Sunday school one day, and the teacher said, all right, fellas, what do you want to be when you grow up? One boy, want to be a plumber. Want to be a mechanic. One boy said, I want to be a preacher. That's what he said, a preacher. Couldn't say preacher. And then another one. Then the preacher, he said, now I changed my mind. I want to be a gangster. He said, well, a minute ago you wanted to be a preacher. Now you want to be a gangster. Which one will it be? Then he said, I guess it depends on who reaches me first. California is filled with boys and girls right now in the balance, waiting for who reaches them first. The Muslims, the Mormons, the child molesters, the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know who the greatest soul winners, in my opinion, are? It's not us old guys. It's not Brother Johnson. It's not me. It's not Brother Myers. It's not Johnny Esposito. You know who the greatest soul winners are? They're sitting in this room. The teenagers. You know why? You've got courage. Plus, you can win teens all the way down to kids. We adults can't. Can you imagine Brother Johnson and I were pulling up to park? Hey, look, there's some kids. Let's get them, Brother Johnson. Two gray-haired men going after them. 911, 911. Child abductors, child abductors. They're coming. They're talking to us. But you young people, you can run up to a group of kids and junior hires and high school, they'll listen to you. First time I ever went soul winning, our pastor announced there's going to be Thursday night soul winning. The whole church is going. Want everybody to come. I was 12. I'd just been saved. He said, we're going to have coffee and Krispy Kreme donuts. My dad told me, never drink coffee. It'll stunt your growth. Never bothered me at all. I showed up that night. I knew the whole church was going. You know who was there? My pastor and me. I showed up in O.W. Moore, a 65-year-old deacon that had a wooden leg. He'd been drunk, ran a train. Train ran over his leg, cut his leg off, so he had a wooden leg. That's who showed up. I said, where is everybody? The pastor said, I got some business to make. Mike, why don't you go with Brother Moore? Well, that's every 12-year-old kid's desire, is to be in a car alone with a 65-year-old man you barely know who's got a wooden leg. I didn't know what to say. Do termites make you nervous? Sir, do you ever scratch the wrong leg? I mean, it was silence all the way to the house. He said, this young couple visited the church. We're going to witness to them. We get inside the house. They have a baby starting to cry. He goes, look, Mike loves to hold babies. He hands me this baby. I'm just. And I hear him, the first thing you have to know to get saved is we're sinners. And there's a payment for sin. And for God so loved the world. Jesus died. And I'm hearing, I'm praying for him. Pretty soon they're praying the sinner's prayer. I hand the baby back. He says, Mike, you're a soul winner. That couple wouldn't have been saved if you weren't here. You kept that baby quiet. They listened. They got saved. You get a crown one day. Amen. I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over it. If we were to put money up here like they had the dollar game, be a dollar error. If we stack the platform with $1,000 bills 3 feet deep all over here, and we said this, I'm gonna count to three. Every person you just tell how to get saved this week, you can come up and take a $1,000 bill. They don't even have to get saved. You just have to tell them how to get saved. Right now, if I announced it, it'd be, I'm out of here. I'm buying a motorcycle. If we would win souls for money, how much more should we be a soul winner? Because there's a hell. Wasn't too long ago, there was Pokemon Go. It was like a cult. We had people in our church doing this. People we didn't even know in front of our church. We'd see people walking down the street. And they said, you gotta catch them all. People quit their jobs. People caught flights, went to foreign countries. They had to catch them all. And we got something more important than Pokemon Go. We got sinners go. We got a lot of people we got to catch. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to imagine the whole world is doing this for a moment. I'm going to count to three. And I want you to say out loud the name of the person most responsible for you being saved. And don't say Jesus, we understand that. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher got you saved, a bus worker. Maybe someone got your family in church and the whole family got saved. Maybe mom and dad. But just say, maybe it's more than one, but just pick a name. The one that's probably most responsible for you being on your way to heaven right now. I'm gonna count to three. Let's just say it out loud. You ready? Okay, got it? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Mrs. Varner. Now the whole world just said that. Let me ask you, did anyone say your name? Did anyone on planet Earth just now say your name? There ought to be dozens and dozens of people that just said your name. I was 16 years of age. I got saved, called to preach, short, ugly black glasses, stuttered, flat feet, had asthma, chipped teeth, looked like a midget, vampire, stuttering, fly, professor. But I knew God had called me to preach. Our pastor said, Angola State Prison called. They have a Methodist church service. They need someone to fill in on Saturday night just once. It's prisoners, it's inmates. You want to do it? I said, yes. I was 16, I was a minor, Louisiana. I pull up to the gate, they said, you're the reverend? I said, yeah, I guess so. And no one with me. I was 16, I wasn't even 18. I can't believe it happened. I pulled in, parked the car, went through the gate. Prison guard says, all right, I'm gonna open the door and it's gonna be your service. I saw this long-haired guy, he had a necklace on, standing there, an inmate. I said, what's that necklace say? It said, I'm a lifer. Me being very naive, I said, I'm a lifer. What's that mean? He said, I'm in here for the rest of my life. I looked at him, I said, you didn't like kill anybody or something, did you? He just looked at me. He opened the door, the guard. It was about 35 men. There was a group of Jehovah's Witnesses over here meeting, about 35 men here. He said, all right, see you in about an hour. Close. It's me and them. What do you say? We're glad you're here today, aren't we? No. The piano's gonna play. No, there's no piano. We're gonna have the organ play in a. What do you sing? If you're saved and you know it, slit a throat. If you're saved and you know it, rattle your chains. I didn't sing one song about the blood. I didn't wanna give them any ideas. I just stood up. I had my sermon outline, 6 things in hell the rich man found out too late. Man, hell's hot forever. I preached as loud and hard as I could and gave the gospel as clear as I could. Then I'm thinking, how do I give the invitation? Come to the counselor. Someone will pray. There was no counselors. Walk the aisle. There's no aisle. We have someone going to fill out the decision card. There was no one. It was just me. So the invitation was this. Men, if you're on your way to hell and you'd like to be saved today, stand. No heads bowed, eyes closed, none of that. 13 grown men stood and got saved. All the way home, this little 16-year-old stuttering boy said, God can use me. God can use me. I can't believe it. 13 men in a prison. God can, and he can use you. Do you have a soul-winning vision? I'm done with this. He had a desire for the miraculous. He said, would you send Lazarus back from the dead? That would have been a miracle. Boy came up to me a while back from our church, happened to be a bus kid. He says, hey, pastor, what do you got to do to be a brother around here? I said, do what? He said, I hear Brother Steve, Brother Jeff. What do you got to do to be a brother around here? I said, are you saved? He said, yes, sir. I said, you already is one. One of the kids asked, he said, how come God doesn't do miracles anymore, pastor? You know, he rained fire from heaven. He dropped quail. He dropped bread, part of the river. How come he doesn't do miracles anymore? I said, are you saved? He said, yes, sir. I said, that's the greatest miracle God ever does. Knocked on her door 2 weeks ago. House where a police officer lives, led his son to Christ. The family visited. Excuse me, he lifted his hand. He was lost. The police officer did. Led him to Christ last week. I went by the house. I said, Jeff, I want to talk to you. I just witnessed to your son. He got saved. I'm going to talk to your daughter. He said, pastor, before you do that, he said, there's something about you. I saw you preach. There's a glow. There's something about you and my wife, and y'all have something I don't have. What do I have to do to get what you have? And that's what the world's asking right now. And he prayed and accepted Christ. He's got about half a dozen people coming Sunday to watch him get baptized. It's a miracle. Close with this. You say you've been saying that. I know it's a miracle. I'm sitting on the plane. I'm going to witness to the lady next to me, but not right away. I'm reading the Bible. She looks over and she says, I bet you're in the ministry. I said, yes, ma'am. A few minutes later, she said, I bet your dad was in the ministry. I said, no, ma'am. Mafia. It's a miracle that any of us are here. Is there something in hell you and your youth group or church needs? Hope that we'll leave this conference never the same. Maybe it's your testimony, like we just heard. Maybe it's something from hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this service. Maybe there's someone still unsaved that needs to receive Christ tonight. Maybe there's some young man, some young lady that's being called to full-time service. If there's a hell, someone's got to do it. Empty countries all over the world, no missionaries, cities all over California, no pastors, no youth pastors. Lord, you got to be calling people out. Help people to surrender. I pray you'd help us. Help us get back to soul winning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One who's here tonight, say, pastor, I've never been saved. I'm just going to be real honest. I've heard a couple messages about that today. If I died tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. Pray for me. Would you slip that hand up? Anyone like that? Just all over the building. I've never been saved. I need to get saved. God bless you. I see your hand right here. Thank you for your honesty. I see it. You may lower your hand. I see it. Anybody else? How about you? who's here tonight, Pastor, I think God may be calling me to ministry. I've never publicly surrendered before. Maybe it's a mission field, maybe preaching. Somehow, I have a vision of God using me, full-time service. I've never made it public, but I believe he's calling me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up just all over the building? Wonderful. Lots and lots and lots of hands. You may lower your hands. This last question. Who's here tonight? You say, Pastor Ray, I have never, ever, as far as I know, led anyone to the Lord personally. I've never opened a Bible and I've shared the scriptures and someone got saved. I've never done that yet. But with God's help, I'm going to get with the best soul winner in my church or youth group, and I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to become a personal soul winner. Pray for me. Would you slip that hand up just all over the building? All over the building. God bless you. Many, many, many hands.